Hello, I'm Kevin Decker.
And welcome to Men in Charge. Our episode this evening is a timeshare life. Does your life feel like a timeshare life, Kevin?
It really does, because every day I come home, unlock the door, and there are people in my house.
And for the first couple of hours, you don't recognize your family, do you?
No, they are my family, but I don't recognize them for some weird chemical reason.
It's because they put you to work as soon as you get home. They make you make
That's
dinner,
right.
And you clean up, and you do the shopping,
right.
And you ask them to move their feet when you vacuum.
Muck out the pig trough.
Yeah.
Everything.
You still have to muck out the pig trough.
I really do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
And the cows can't go on milk.
No.
Tugging the teats
the
must
pigs,
persist.
The pigs and the cows appreciate it for various
reasons.
They
thank you in their own dairy
they
ways.
Do. Yeah. So to get away from really the sad facts of my everyday life, maybe we should mention that we have some unexpected guests in the
We have two cast members, Luke and Liz, the best people we have whose names begin with L.
Mm-hmm.
We had to let them in. They were locked out
right.
After we ended
missed
the recording saying they missed the bus and it was raining. So how do you like it? Are you comfortable huddling near the Men in Charge fire, Liz?
There was transportation in my rider, but I'm still here, stuck at the station.
Well, the transportation, the rider, I mean, it was the reference to a bus schedule.
No, I think she's trying to reference that it's our fault.
But we really don't take responsibility for things, so that's up to you, Liz. But you're okay with it, right?
I'll be all right. I can walk. I have a broken leg, but...
But it's your left leg, right?
I only need one.
Yeah. Favor true. Your right hopping, leg. That's our advice.
Hopping home.
And Luke...
He's enjoying the trash fire.
You are.
That we have here in the studio.
But I wish you hadn't lit it, because it's not code. But are you happy to be in out of the rain, too?
Oh, my God. The fire was just so nice. I mean, I've already had a couple cases of hypothermia, because you guys just don't want to let me in for some reason.
Yeah, well...
Am I that much of a pox on this...
Pox was the word we were searching for.
Yeah.
Not that much of a modest pox.
We can't. Tony and I don't agree on the starting time, and as a result, we get left out in the cold.
It's variable.
That's
right.
The problem.
And then we chuckle, and then we send them to the wrong address. The usual thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you've accepted our cruelty with a good sense of humor. We need to talk about what's meant by a timeshare life, but while we have you here manacled to your chairs, relatively near the trash fire, what were the particular challenges you felt in immersing yourselves in these roles for this show?
Yeah, some of the challenges, I suppose, include reading cold on the air.
Well, that's because we lowered the heat.
There's no heat in the studio.
No, not for you. We have our thermal blankets. But anyway, go ahead.
That's
Sorry to
why
interrupt.
We've got this fire out here.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the characters you play, Liz, is somewhat vampiric. Is that kind of method acting?
You have vampiric experience?
Yeah. Oh, yes, actually. In my past, years ago. I don't usually like to talk about it on the radio.
So should we not have brought it up?
No, it's okay. It's something I'm working through.
There are outstanding warrants, aren't there? Sorry.
We can't talk about this.
Sorry. We'll edit this part out.
She's changed her name, so everybody's safe. It's okay.
Not Liz anymore.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had some dental work done.
Okay. They look good. They gleam in the trash fire light.
Thank you.
Luke, what about the struggles you went through playing a brilliant, brilliant young high school sophomore?
I feel like the struggle I had to deal with the most was actually putting humor into the scripts I was given.
Yeah. Okay. Someone won't be invited back.
We hear that a lot, but usually
we edit it out.
Yeah, and then those people disappear. Yeah.
Never to be heard from again.
Well, we should probably take them out of the studio at this point.
Manacle them elsewhere.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and mention what scripts we actually are performing.
Okay, and
today.
Then we'll get to the topic of the timeshare life eventually.
Yes, we should do that. So first of all, on today's show, it's the popular interview show, Who's Making a Hash Out of Quantum Theory Today, with Dr. Seymour J. Fackenheim and his robot Rover. And how is quantum theory being made a hash of, Tony?
Well, people come in, they make mistakes, they're uninformed.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And it turns out that a particular corporate interest who's developed quantum bubble computing for having artificial intelligences write sympathy cards is being featured on today's show.
It's true. You can't leave that in human hands, the sympathy cards. You follow the right algorithm and you can inflict as much sympathy as you like.
Right. Second, coming up after that, for all of those who have been following the emerging story of Sky High Flyman, Lower Heights' newest superhero. We have kind of a spin-on. I'm coining that term.
Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money from
sure
it, too.
Am.
Yeah, it's a spin-in, but it's both somehow centrifugal and centripetal at the same time. That's science, listeners. We have Lester Bellamy, a young genius but generally ill-tempered sophomore at James Buchanan High School.
Yeah.
And he has plans, and he's just several steps ahead of everyone else. But he hasn't moved into his full post-puberty charm, has he?
I hoping you weren't going to go there.
But yeah.
But
we're editing that out, too.
Okay, all right. And then finally today, we, you know, kind of tack toward the disturbing at the end of each episode here. It's visiting the Museum of Broken Glass and taken from Kevin's own shattered memories of going to the City Museum
shattered.
In St. Louis,
nice
Missouri.
Touch. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. We're going to see a father and son who have the day off from their irritating and overbearing mother slash wife and visit the Museum of Broken Glass, in which there's, well, lots of broken glass.
And a vampire.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, you know, kind of subtly vampiric.
Subtly vampiric. Subtly was that a spoiler?
No, you didn't spoil
it. Did I ruin it again?
No,
are we going
like,
to have to cut the whole segment because
I
of
like
that?
People to know that Luke Skywalker dies at the end, you know, and just spoil it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, did you, Luke?
No, I did know it, but, you mean, it's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah,
and
I don't care about spoiling it for people, folks.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I care.
Yeah.
Okay.
I care.
Acknowledgements of reciprocal felicity, listener. This is Dr. Seymour J. Fackenheim, physicist laureate of Brookline, Massachusetts, and you're listening to my weekly radio program, Who's Making a Hash of Quantum Theory Today? Depending upon your radio's power source, it's 78 to 83 decibels of penetrating scientific banter along a signal strength of 52.34 decibel microvolts per meter. Robot sidekick Rover, please introduce our guests.
AutoExec.UMB, :, today's guest, Ron. Today's guest is Alec Portnoy, head programmer at Quantum Reap, LLC, and...
I appreciate your efficiency, Rover. Welcome, Dr. Portnoy.
Thank you, Dr. Fackenheim, but I'm not a doctor.
And yet you are a computer programmer for a large corporation. How is this possible?
Well, I left college my junior year to join up with my pal Ellie Cinto and founded Quantum Reap. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yes. You represent a relevant statistical point in the so-called startup generation. Who needs a doctorate anymore?
:\A. It's a rhetorical question. Command. :\A:\Repeat. End.
And the name of your company, Quantum Reap. You are aware, are you not, of the inimical mixed metaphor? If something is to be reaped, it would need to be made of plant-based matter. The action of reaping is not something that can be performed with quantum materials.
Well, that clever name was suggested by Ellie Cinto. It's a synthesis of two ideas, like Experian or Lumenscant, represented by one of your last guests on Who's Making a Hash of Quantum Theory Today.
:\A. That was Hazel Hafner, Mary Corporate, Shill. Command. :\A:\Repeat. End.
Yes, and what a hash she made. Have you heard her bad TED Talk?
No, I haven't the time. We'll see how you'll compare. Because, apparently, your quantum threshing company has been utilizing quantum bubble distributed processing architecture to make artificial intelligences capable of writing greeting cards.
:\B. An ability that is a hallmark of limited intellect. Ha, ha, ha. Command. :\C:\. End.
Ha, 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 indeed, Rover. Mr., not Dr., Portnoy has certainly put the artificial in artificial intelligence.
Well, let's see if the proof is in the pudding, as it were.
Have the radio engineers once again provided pudding? Where is it?
Sorry, just a figure of speech. But I brought one of our AIs named Shiri.
:\B. Shish kebaba. Command. :\C:\. End.
Once again, Rover, I must remind you that you do not have an orifice for comestibles. Now, where is this artificial intelligence?
Well, maybe your robot's referring to Shiri's sleek black design. She's actually this small black box on your desk, Dr. Fackenheim.
Hello, Dr. Fackenheim. I am Shiri. I am the result of a $2 billion investment in quantum computing architecture.
Ah, miniaturization worthy of our camera-loving Japanese cousins. And you say that this monumental brainchild of the virtual future creates birthday cards?
Shiri's been designed specifically to make human writers of sympathy cards a thing of the past.
AutoExec.umv. RIP, human greeting card creators, so sorry. And she's quite the looker, too. Close. End.
Rover, how many times have I told you not to judge the quality of mechanical appurtenances by their matte black finish?
Tell these gentlemen how you create the sympathy card, Shiri.
I'd be glad to, Mr. Portnoy. Upon the death of a friend, colleague, or family member, I go into action. Within just a few moments, I have combed your email and any physical correspondence you've scanned into your computer, reviewed all relevant public data, and electronically grabbed a copy of the obituary before it is even published in the newspapers.
My 19-year-old grandnephew refers to electronic grabbing as hacking.
Open, colon, string, string, slash, query. Shiri, would you like to go out sometime? Command, go to string, slash, a colon, repeat, end.
Sure, large hissing contraption. What would you like to do? Get a bite?
Open, colon, string, string, slash, a. Ha, ha, ha. Command, go to string, slash, a colon, repeat, end.
Keep your ample mind on the task at hand, Shiri.
Your creator does not seem to want you engaging in biologically based courting behaviors, Shiri.
Yes, the sexual liberation of advanced artificial intelligences is, you might say, Portnoy's complaint.
And rightly so. Distasteful business at best.
Regarding the sympathy card, having synthesized all the data obtained, I compose a tasteful and completely factual sympathy note.
Tell him some of your favorites, Shiri.
At the passing of a local businesswoman, I wrote, "We are deeply sorry about the loss of Hilda Grimes. As you grieve, know that we are remembering and honoring her. Also, we are looking forward to what should be one impressive estate sale."
That seems quite appropriate, although I would also note whether or not the individual's death had a positive or negative impact on the local economic situation.
Open, colon, string, string, slash, C. My investments have never done so well. End.
With all the data considered regarding the death of a beloved radio DJ, I produced a sympathy card that said, "Sorry for your loss. We celebrate the life of Bubba the Love Sponge and note with some interest that ratings of the network he left behind have skyrocketed in the last few days."
I find these sympathy card messages to be far more reassuring than the ones found on our supermarket shelves. After brain death, what survivors need is reminders that the world will go on, that reappraisals of price indexes for squashes and gourds will continue to occur, for example, that guppies will continue to be born to feed one's pet remora, Spike.
That's not exactly what we at Quantum Reap thought, but I'm glad to hear you like it, Dr. Fackenheim.
I'm not sure I ever said that I liked your sympathy cards.
AutoExec.umb. RIP Quantum Reap. Close. End.
Oh, Rover, I appreciate your black humor. You make my silicon nodes tingle.
Well, before this frankly repulsive display of digital courtesy develops any further, I will say that we are out of time for Who's Making a Hash of Quantum Theory Today? Next time on the show, we'll be frankly ridiculing poet and physicist Todd Hunter for his senseless notion, I dare not call it even a theory, that the existence of quantum-level phenomena proves we have free will. Absurd! Until then, farewell.
AutoExec.umb. Open, colon, file name, colon. Men in charge, transitional material. Run. Men in charge, a hallmark of intellect. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you. And now the exciting adventures of Lester Bellamy, underappreciated adolescent. Join us here at James Buchanan High School in Lower Heights in the office of Saxby Feather, guidance counselor. It is his 17th detention meeting this month with sophomore Lester Bellamy.
Lester, we've been through this, I don't know, a million times, and...
17 times, actually.
I don't appreciate you interrupting me, young man. It's...
I know, it's rude. Or it would be if you weren't so uninformed. And I don't appreciate your being so, shall we say, counterfactual. It's 17 times, not a million. Also, it's not you interrupting, but you're interrupting. Interrupting is a gerund, so it takes a possessive adjective. You're, not the pronoun you.
Thanks for clearing that up, Lester. And I was using hyperbole for the number.
It's pronounced hyperbole, Saxby.
My name is pronounced Mr. Feather, Lester. Now, as...
Sorry, but Saxby's all you're entitled to if you can't recognize the gerund and you mispronounce common rhetorical terms like hyperbole. Next, you'll be saying mute point instead of moot point.
Maybe you'd like to mull this over during detention this afternoon?
Don't you mean mule it over?
Okay, mule it over. Wait, no. Stop it, Lester. Based off your attendance...
Based off can only refer to the absence of a base, meaning here that I can operate without consequences. Is that what you mean?
That's enough, Lester. Based on the fact that you haven't attended class in 2 months...
To be fair, I was suspended for 1 week of those 2 months, so that part's not my fault.
And since you haven't finished any assignments or taken any tests all year, there's no way James Buchanan High School can let you graduate 3 years early.
Come on, I'll be 16 in 11 months.
And I don't care which universities have already admitted you.
Well, do you care about my TED Talk on acne cures? My rocket-powered skateboard? My novel?
Your novel had mixed reviews, Lester. Kirkus slammed it.
True. But I have some promising feelers on the film rights. And what about my apps like Dr. Surveillance?
Wait, I don't know about that one.
Dr. Surveillance allows me to Dr. Surveillance footage remotely. You'd be surprised to know what I can make seem really happened in this school.
Okay. I'll admit I'm impressed. And alarmed.
The app I'm proudest of, though, is Identity Theft.
Whoa. What does that one do?
It allows the user to engage in identity theft.
I'm beginning to think you're not a good person, Lester.
That's because I'm a prisoner of my circumstances. If you let me graduate a few years early, I'd be ethically transformed right before your eyes. For a start, I could consider letting you join the first pool of investors.
The police. And just in time, too, Lester. I was... moments away from accepting your bribe.
But they can't pin a thing on me. Dr. Surveillance, remember?
Actually, I don't think the police are here for you this time, Lester. The bank across the street is on fire.
Cool. Mr. Feather, may I be excused from detention early so that I can go watch the fire?
Only if escorted by a school official. And I love a good fire, so let's go.
Wait. I need to call my mom.
Call her on the way.
I need to get permission. Mom, Mr. Feather is letting me out of detention early so that we can go watch the fire at the bank next door. Can I go, please?
Well, that depends. Have you finished your homework?
Mom, you know that homework is for kids being absorbed into the capitalist hegemony.
But Lester, couldn't you just give the capitalist hegemony a try? At least until you get your footing as an oligarch?
Mom, the fire?
Okay, Lester. I'll see you there. I don't want to miss a good fire either. We'll talk about your economic foothold after dinner.
Yes, I get to go.
There you are, Lester. Isn't this exciting? And I know you. You're Lester's favorite guidance counselor slash disciplinary figure, Mr. Feather.
Actually, it's Feather, ma'am. Saxby Feather.
I see. How nice. I must have misread your name tag, even though it does say Tether.
Well, yes, it does, Mrs. Bellamy. Sorry. Heather was my predecessor's name. But with budget cuts and all, I have to use his name tag.
Mom, never mind his name tag. Look, up in the sky, that helicopter.
You mean the one the man in yellow costume is dangling from, some 50 feet above us?
Yes, that one. The only helicopter. Can you read the banner the yellow guy is holding?
No, it keeps flapping.
I can, I think. It says, Sky High Man to the Rescue, sponsored by Henderson Dog Food with Additives Corporation. Sky High Man is a registered trademark. Copyright infringement will be prosecuted.
I think I just stepped onto my first economic foothold, Mom.
Look, Lester, the man in the yellow costume is plummeting to the pavement.
Oof, that was close. Two more feet and I'd be part of the pavement.
So that's what you do, Sky High Man. You hang from a helicopter, 2 feet from the ground. How does that rescue anyone?
You know, because I'm suspended by wires in this harness, I can't actually enter this burning building to save anyone. Maybe you could help me out of it?
That's all the time we have now for Lester Bellamy, underappreciated adolescent, and his loyal business associate, Sky High Man, Part 1. Tune in next time when we'll hear Sky High Man say...
What? No, don't swing me into that window!
Dad, thanks for taking me out today. Mom was getting on my nerves.
What are you talking about? Your nerves? She wanted me to replace the sink trash dispenser again today.
That's the third time this week.
Hello and welcome. We know that you have your choice of postmodern art institutions to visit, and we appreciate that you chose Gebrich de Glass Museum of Splintered Silicate. Two tickets?
Don't you have some sort of discount for me?
Yeah, don't you have some sort of discount for him? Wait, why, son?
Because I'm a minor.
That's right, he's a minor. Dangerous working conditions. We demand a discount.
Look, I'm just the owner, so arguing with you about the price of the tickets is above my pay grade. Just $10 for the two of you.
Well, that's more like it, my good man. Son, don't wander too far. It's way too...
Glinty is the word you're looking for.
That's right. It's way too glinty in there. Hey, wait, son. I can't tell which of you is real and which of you is a reflection.
That would be the arc lamps. They're to enhance the shine off all the shards.
Yes, that's a good question. Why do you call it a museum of splintered silicate when it's really just a big cold warehouse full of broken glass?
Well, we don't have no insurance, so the fancier name reminds people they ain't in any danger.
Somehow that makes sense. Son, where are you?
I'll be your tour guide today.
Ah! Where did you come from?
You might say I've been right next to you all along.
Might I say that?
Yes, you might. My name is Agnes, and I'll be your tour guide through the Museum of Splintered Silicate.
Hello, Agnes. You sure gave me a start there.
Agreed. This is no place to fall accidentally to the ground, is it? And you may, if you wish, call me Madame Giorna.
Right. Agnes, then. Can you help me find my son?
Yes. What is his name?
Heyman.
Good. Heyman!
Yes, Dad?
Well, I could have done that. Son, don't run in this place. They've got no insurance.
And please, young fella, mind all
broken glass!
I was going to say, mind the rope barriers. It's not safe to go beyond the rope barriers and get too close to the exhibits.
There are no rope barriers.
Yeah, there are no rope barriers.
They're on order. The first shipment comes this Thursday. You have to imagine them into the picture. But don't cross them.
Don't make the rope barriers angry, son.
Ah, here's the little scamp now. How old are you, mischievous little feller me lad?
I'm 13.
But you're so small.
I have a kind of wasting disease from Operation Guam Vacation 2014. Right, Dad?
Son, I could never have known that letting the mosquitoes cover you as you slept in our tent would have had such an effect. I'm still sorry.
Oh my goodness, are you serious about a wasting disease?
See, Dad? I told you, it'll never stop being funny.
He doesn't have any disease. His body just stopped growing. No big deal.
Somehow, that's even more hideous. In any case, may I direct your attention to our traveling exhibit right over here?
It's a pile of broken glass.
Shut up, son.
This is a very, very, very special pile of broken glass. It's called Unknown Terrorist Attack Number 189,235. And the glass is from the site of the infamous Unknown Terrorist Attack.
It's almost spooky. I don't understand. Was the terrorist unknown or was the attack unknown?
The referent of the modifier is unclear.
And over here, we have glass from the Sears Tower, which used to be from the tallest building in the world.
Now the tallest building is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai.
Nobody likes a smartass young man.
Ah!
Hey, Agnes. Has anyone ever told you that your teeth...
Dad, help me up. She scared the silicate out of me.
Oh, I'm sorry, poor boy. And it looks like there is still some silicate left in you. You've been naughty, falling behind the second and future shipment of rope barriers. Let's take that fragment out.
Ow, it hurt.
Don't be such a baby. That barely nicked your basilic vein.
Keep pressure on it.
Can I do anything to help?
Go get paper towels. And maybe a bowl.
Okay.
And don't run amongst the broken glass. Or do run. This is quite a wound, young man. I need both hands to tear my scarf to use as a tourniquet. So I'll have to cover the wound ever so briefly in some other way.
I'll be right back, son.
Madam Gihorna.
Yes?
Are you draining blood from the customers again?
No! Why, the very idea.
Remember, health code.
I mean, the very idea of letting all this sap of life go to waste. It's a tragedy, I say.
Hey, wait, I think you just turned that around on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Visiting the Museum of Broken Glass. The rest of the story is up to you. If you'd like the father to survive his accident, but for his son, Haman, to be a victim of the vampire, text GUILT to 4233. If you'd like the boy to escape Agnes's overly large canines, only to find his dad pulling up the daisies, text SYNDROME to 4232. And if you'd never like us to broadcast anything like Visiting the Museum of Broken Glass again, blog about men in charge using affirmative terms like puritanical and childlike.
Kevin, what do you think? Is this a gratitude-worthy cast? I mean, we've recorded them. They've shared airtime and space.
Let's thank who's been in the studio with us today. Luke.
Hi.
And Liz. And also, secretly lurking in the background the entire time, and you did not know it, listeners, Scott Herrick, one of our writers.
Yep.
Thanks, Scott.
You betcha.
He's waving.
We would like to thank Davis Hill, Luke Amber, Steve Lloyd, Liz Rognes, Tony Flynn, and Kevin Decker.
We would also like to thank for our theme song, The Bad Plus, and the trio with four members, Vern Windham, Nisha Schramm, Carrie Boyce, and the founder of the Secret Society of the Third Eye, Brian Lindsay.